Okay. Good evening to everyone.
Good evening. Good evening.
Okay, good Kodesh too. Even though it's not Rish Kodesh. This past Shabbos was Rosh Chodesh, and therefore we read a different Haftorah in Shul, not the Haftorah normally read for Parshas Noach. But in the Haftorah normally read for Parshas Noach, there is a pasuk, it comes from Sefer Yeshaya, and there's a pasuk which Hashem says, Ki mei Noach zos li, Hashem nishbati me'avor mei Noach. And in this pasuk, Hashem says that I will not destroy Bnei Yisrael, I will not destroy the world again, because I made a shvua. I took an oath, Hashem says, that by the waters, or like the waters of Noah, I will not destroy the world again. And from here, the Chazal tell us that we see that the flood, the Mabul, is called Mei Noah, the waters of Noah. We would have called the waters, the Mabul, the flood or the water of the generation of Noach. And that's probably how we understand this pasuk. Ki mei Noach, as the waters of Noach, means the waters that took place in the times of Noach, in the generation of Noach. Of course, Noach being he and his family being the only righteous ones in that generation. Nonetheless, the rest of the world were wicked people, and therefore they were destroyed by the Mabul, the flood. But we're told by Chazal that now, when it says Mei Noach, it's to be understood as the waters of Noach. It's to be understood that these are the waters that came to Noach, as if there was a reason that he himself should have been destroyed. Which, of course, needs explanation, because Noah was the tzaddik. Noah was the one that listened to Hashem, and even before Hashem told him to build the teva, he was the tzaddik. And then when Hashem told him to build the teva, he did so almost at the expense of his life, and Rashi tells us. They wanted to lynch him, they wanted to kill him. And for 120 years he's building the teva, and he's rebuking them. They didn't listen, but nonetheless, he did his part. He tried to get them to repent. He tried to get them to change their ways. But to no avail. They didn't listen. And then finally came time to go into the Teva. And he and his family were saved, which is only indicative of the righteousness of Noach and his family. And yet here, Chazal tell us that it's called Mei Noach. So interestingly, that the key to this is not found anywhere in Rashi, it's not found in the Ramban, it's not found in the Gemara, it's not found in the Medrash. But the one place that tells us why it's called Mei Noach is the Zohar HaKadosh. And the Zohar, very explicitly, it's not like alluded to, it's not like a word, but very clearly in the Zohar it tells us why it's called Mei Noach. And the Zohar says, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach to go into the Teva, because ani hinani mevi es hamabul mayim, ala aretz, Hashem says, I'm going to bring a massive flood to the world, umachisi es kol hayakum asher asisi mal kol pnei adama, and I will wipe out every living thing that I created, and you will go into the Teva, ubasel hateva, you will come to the Teva and you will be saved. Says the Zohar, when Hashem told that to Noach, Lo bo racham en el alma ve'is avidu, he did not daven on behalf of the world. He didn't daven for all those wicked people, after rebuking them and after telling them that they have to change their ways because Hashem is going to destroy them. And finally came the moment of truth and Hashem was going to bring the Mabul. And the Zohar says he should have turned to Hashem and said, God, please have mercy on these people. And he didn't. Says the Zohar, begin kachem, because of this, Akron mei hamabel al shemei. The waters of the flood is called on his name, tomorrow. Like it says, ki mei noyach zoisli. So Isaiah finds blame in Nayach over here for not davening on behalf of the rest of the world. Now, if you would have asked me, if we would have asked ourselves, should Nayach daven for the rest of the world? The rest of the world, they're wicked people. And they had a chance to do tshuva. And Nayach himself participated in that chance to try to bring them to do the right thing, try to change their ways. And they didn't listen. And Hashem said, since they didn't listen, this is what's going to happen. Hashem said, this is a gezeira. This is a decree from heaven. I'm going to destroy the world. But this is what we read in the Parsha on Shabbos. Vayamalakim l'Nayach. Keitz kol basar b'olafanai. The end has come. I've had enough. Hashem says, I gave them time. I gave them an extra 120 years, even after I decided that. And still, they're not changing their ways. Hashem says, I've decided to destroy the world. Hinni mashchi samasaretz, I'm going to destroy the world. For you, Nayach, haseh lecha teva satzigeh. Make a teva and go into the teva. So Nayach hears this from Hashem. He says, I've decided to destroy the world. This is my decision. And you will be saved. You will be saved. Build the teva and you will be saved. So why should Nayach daven for them? Why should Nayach daven if already the decree has been sealed? Their fate has been sealed. It's been decided already. Why should he daven for them? They're wicked to start off with. He tries to get them to do tshuva. Why should he daven for them? It's interesting, there's a Mishnah in Masechtas Idios which says that the duration of the punishment of the Dor HaMabul, the generation of the Mabul, the generation of the flood, was 12 months. The Mishnah is listing different things that span 12 months of time. And the Mishnah says one of those things was the generation of the Mabul, that punishment spanned 12 months. Which some ask, why 12 months? I mean, Sodom and Amorah were destroyed instantly. Showered down by Gophris, Famelach, Sreifa, Chalarza, where was Hashem that just overturned and destroyed Sodom instantly? And here, what, it's stretched out over 12 times? What, Hashem wanted to torture them? What was the point of stretching out the punishment for the Dor HaMabul? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal says, no, really, the Mishnah is not talking about the generation of the flood. Could be they were destroyed instantly. Could be they died right away as soon as the waters came down. We were told by Chazal they were boiling water. And could be they died instantly. But the 12 months was a punishment for Nayach. He had to spend 12 months in the Teva. And we know all the work that he had to do. Taking care of the animals and taking care of the garbage. A very uncomfortable situation for Nayach. And this, says Rabbi Yaakov, was actually a punishment for Nayach. So that's what it means, there was a duration of 12 months. It's very strange. Why is he punished? Why is Nayach punished for this? He himself is a tzaddik. And he should daven for who? He should daven because Hashem decided there's going to be a gezeira. Hashem decided it's over. Hashem is going to bring a flood. Hashem says, this is what I've decided. He should start davening for them. We find another Zayar that says, after Nayach came out of the Teva, he emerged from the Teva, and at that point he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, he says, you're called a Rachum. You're called someone who has the midah of mercy. And he sees total destruction all around him. And he says, Hashem, why didn't you have mercy? What does Hashem answer? Hashem says, now you say that? Now you tell me I am full of mercy? Now you ask me I should have been merciful on the world? What happened to you 12 months ago? Hashem blames him for not davening 12 months earlier. So what are we asking from Noach over here? How does the Zohar find, in Hashem's words, he's blaming him. The Zohar understands it's called May Noach because of that, because he didn't daven for his generation. Why should he daven for his generation? Why should he daven after Hashem said, this is what I've decided to do. There is a gzeira hinani mashchisa mesaretz, I'm going to destroy the world. And what do we expect from Noach to do at this point? When we contrast Noach with Avram, which Chazal already do several times, the very famous Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Noach, Noach is tzaddik, tamim haya b'day reisav, in his generation he was a perfect tzaddik, and Rashi brings the Chazal, yesh darshim l'shvach, yesh darshim l'gnai. Interesting, Rashi says if we would compare him to Avram, he would be nothing. The Medrash compares him to other people. Had he been in the generation of Shmuel, had he been in the generation of Moshe. But Rashi uses Avram. Had he been in the generation of Avram, he would be nothing. As we compare Noach to Avram. And in several places we compare them. So if Chazal compared them, so we should look in contrast, and not in this coming week's Parsha, but in Parsha's Vayera, we see what Avram did. Hashem says to Avram, I'm going to destroy these cities, Sodom, Amora, these cities who are wicked, I'm going to destroy them. And what does Avram do? Avram starts davening for them. Hashem, are you going to kill the tzaddikim? Don't kill the tzaddikim. Save the tzaddikim. Ha'af tispet tzaddikim rasha. Are you going to destroy the tzaddik also, even though there are mostly rishonim? Save the tzaddikim. And then he goes on to daven even more. He says, wait, he says, Hashem, maybe there are enough tzaddikim that their merit, their schus, could carry over for the whole generation, for the whole city rather. For all those cities. Five different cities, maybe there's enough tzaddikim in those cities. Save everybody. If you think about it, it's almost bizarre what's taking place over here. Avram Avinu, who is the pillar of chesed, the epitome of the Baal Chesed, the charitable person in the world. And what are these cities all about?
Sin.
Oh, certainly sin. But even more so. They are the antithesis of what Avram is trying to teach in the world. To use it as an example, what Rashi says in Parshas Vayera, the Vayera rather. Erdana, Hashem says, Erdana Vayera, I will go down and I will see Tabiachol with my own very own eyes to judge them. Haktzaakosa haboi lai osu kolavim lo yedo. Haktzaakosa, I will hear the screams. And Rashi says, using this word, what's haktzaakosa, the screams? Who's screaming? And Rashi brings the Chazal that it's the scream of this girl who did a charitable act and gave a poor person to eat, and they took her and they smeared her body in honey and put her on the roof, the beast she ate. Horrible things that they did. So not only did they decide not themselves not to be charitable to one another, that was bad enough, but anyone who decided yes to be charitable, the mob was after him. So these are the people who are really diametrically opposed to what Avram stood for and what Avram's trying to teach and preach to everyone. Everyone he comes in contact with, anyone who comes into his tent, he's saying, it's not me doing this chesed, Hashem gives chesed, Hashem does charitable things to the world, and you should do so to other people. And here you have these cities. These five cities who are doing just the opposite. And Hashem says, I'm going to destroy these cities. Why? Because they are terribly corrupt. Corrupt. They're sinful. They're not charitable people. Horrible individuals. And Avram says, no, don't. Save them. If you think about it too much, the question becomes almost too difficult to answer. So we'll stop here. I mean, are we supposed to pray for the Arabs? Hashem should save them? Should I put Ahmadinejad in my Tehillim list? Gewalt. And Avram Avinu is praised because he's the one who davens for Sodom and Amora Admo Tzvayim, and Nayach is blamed. Nayach, you come out looking very bad. Ki mei Nayach leisli. That's it. We're not B'nai Nayach. We're not doing Nayach. We emerge as B'nai Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. So obviously that's the path we're supposed to follow. B'nai Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. And Avram comes out a hero because he davened for the wicked. And Nayach, poor Nayach, who for 120 years tries to get them to change their ways, they don't. And comes out of the tave and Hashem says, you messed up. You should have davened for them. Now you feel bad. Now you're looking at destruction. You should have davened for them. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, he doesn't really answer the question, but he just sort of depicts the difference between Nayach and Avram. And he says that, you see, he quotes a little bit of a different Zayar, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Nayach, Yoyscha Ra'isi Tzadik Lefonai Badar Azeh, you I have seen as a Tzadik. And the Zayar says, that Hashem says to Avram, you think I told you you're a Tzadik to make you feel good? You think that your head should swell. Hashem called me a tzaddik. I said you're a tzaddik, so I want you to daven. And Rabbi Yaakov says, you see, that Nayach again is blamed because he didn't daven. And Avram davened. And that was the whole difference. And he says, that was the difference. And you see and how it played out in history. Where Nayach is almost a tragic personality in history who... we have nothing to do with him anymore. Even though we all come from him. And he saved the world. And there's only Jews in the world because of Nayach. Because he was a tzaddik. But yet, it stops over there. The line stops with him. And only Avram Avinu has continuity as being the father of all Jews. And Rabbi Yaakov says it's this difference. The Zohar is telling us the difference. The Zohar actually says it very clearly. That... when Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he says, come and see Mabein Tzadikim Shahiyo Lehem LeYisrael Acha Nayach Ubein Nayach. Let's look at the difference. Let's compare Nayach to the rest of the other Tzadikim. It says Nayach didn't daven for his generation like Avram. Avram did daven. When Hashem says Zak Asadayim Ba'amari Ki Rabba, right away Vayigashon Vayomer, and Avram goes to daven to Hashem to save these terrible cities. And then the Zohar says, Moshe Rabbeinu also, the already was talking about B'nai Yisrael, it's a little bit different. When B'nai Yisrael sinned, but a golden calf, Vayichal Moshe Rabbeinu put himself on the line, he was ready to give up his own Olam Hazeh, his own Olam Haba, just to save Klal Yisrael. And this is what we compare, we contrast Nayach who didn't daven for the wicked, and Avram who did, and Moshe who did. So Rabbi Yaakov is sort of just explaining a difference, but not really giving us an insight into why the expectancy here. Why do we blame Nayach for not davening, and we're praising Avram for davening? And it's the two scenarios are quite comparable in terms of Hashem says, Kates called Basar Balafanai, I've decided to destroy them. And Sadaim Ba'amayra Zaka Sadaim Akiroba, I've decided to destroy them. And Avram somehow knew he should daven, and Nayach didn't understand to daven. What Rabbi Yaakov does say is, interestingly, he says, after he explains these differences, he says, and this is something very important for our generation to know. And that's it, that's all he said. It was just, it's not in his sefer, in the Emes Le'Yaakov, but it was quoted, something that he said. What does that mean? What did he mean for our generation? We have to know this. So I think what we see here in these two stories of Noach's generation and he didn't daven, where the Zayar blames him. We find fault in Noach, he made Noach, and Avram Avinu who did daven, who somehow Avram knew to daven and Noach did not know to daven. We see a very interesting idea about tefillah. And that is that we don't daven to be answered. Davening is not that we should daven for something and be answered. I think this is a novel concept in tefillah, not something that is normally taught what tefillah is, but we'll try to explain it. But that was the difference between Noach and Avram. Noach said, listen, there's a gezeirah. Hashem said, I'm going to destroy them. They deserve to die. I know firsthand, Noach says, they deserve to die. What's the point of davening? There's no point in davening for them. They're supposed to die. There is a gezeirah. So my tefillah won't help. So why should I daven? And Noach didn't daven. And Avram says, you know what? These cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, they don't deserve to live. They do deserve to die. I'm on Hashem's side. I understand they should die. But I'm going to daven anyway. He's davening anyway. Hashem says, I already have a gezeirah. Avram says, I'm going to daven anyway. And as Avram knew, that the concept of tefillah is not to be answered. The concept of tefillah is tefillah. If we want anything that we need, we have to daven. And certainly tefillah has the koyach to give us anything that we need. And tefillah has the power to be answered for any tefillah. And tefillah has such a power that it could change the course of nature. And tefillah has such a power that it could change, even as Rabbeinu Bakhi says in Parashas Toldos, it could change nature. We know that from all the tefillahs of the Avos, the Imais. They weren't able to have children. Physically, they weren't able to have children, and their tefillah changed them. So tefillah certainly has that power. But why we daven, and why we have to daven, is not to be answered. So I'd like to read you something that the Mabit, in his Sefer Beis Elokim, the Mabit lived approximately 500 years ago, in the same times of the Beis Yosef. And he writes in his Sefer Beis Elokim in Shar HaTfila, Perek Chamisha Asr, the 15th chapter. He says, HaTfila hi mitzvah min HaTorah. Davening is a mitzvah saseh. As it says, Ula'ovdei b'chol levavchem, we have to serve Hashem with all our heart, which the Gemara explains, Ezu avodah shi v'lev zu tefila. How do we serve Hashem with our heart? Tefila. When a person davens properly, with the right intent, kavana means that he knows he's in need of everything. Hashem is the only one that can help him. That's kavana. Thereby, he has fulfilled a mitzvah min HaTorah. He has said praises of Hashem. And he has asked for his needs. He has asked because he knows the only one that can help him is Hashem. And then we end tefillah with thanking Hashem. We start with praising Hashem. That gets in our mind the idea of how great Hashem is and the only one that can help us. And then all the middle blessings of the Shemoneh Esrei is asking for what we need. And every day we need refuah, and every day we need chachma, and every day we need parnasa. And then we end off with haidah, we thank Hashem for that, and that's a tefillah. So he says, V'gam ki ein tefillasei al inyin shei losei laitiyem mekubelas.
And even if what I am requesting, even if what I am asking for, will not be answered, shikvar nigzer gzeira, because a decree has been decreed already. Or for whatever reason Hashem might have, why He decided He's not going to answer me. He says, im kol zeh, but still, tfilosei techoshev leilat staka ba'olam haba. But he has that mitzvah. He still davened. He still has that mitzvah min ha'Torah to daven. And that tefillah he has, he doesn't lose that tefillah. He doesn't lose that tefillah if he's not answered. And that tefillah he has, and that tefillah will be considered a schar for him in Olam Haba. So a person who davens, and if a person has more needs, or finds himself in greater need of something, and they have to daven constantly, so that's just Hashem's way of saying, you know what, I want more of your tefillah. But the davening itself, what is that? That's a mitzvah saseh min ha-Torah. That's davening. And if a person davens properly, like any mitzvah, if he doesn't do it properly, a person decides, you know, he's going to take the lulav and the esrig, the adasim, the rabbas, he wants to be mekayim this mitzvah. He wants to do it, you know, but he's not too careful about it. And he takes the esrig upside down and he shakes, and they haven't been mekayim the mitzvah. They have to know how to do the mitzvah. They want to have the schar of the mitzvah. So one has to know how to daven too. One has to understand that he's davening because he's the one in need and is helpless, and Hashem is the only one that could help him. So that's davening b'kavanah. But once a person davens, he should be satisfied that he has daven. So some people are not just satisfied with that. That okay, I have schar and olam haba. It's like, you know, okay, I did the mitzvah lulav, I did the mitzvah tefillah. Is that all? He says, no, you get more than that. There's much more with that. V'gam ba'olam hazeh yechol peiros ha'tefillah dimyun ma'aser shoal me'achel yisborach. Even in this world, a person will gain from what he davened. Why? Because he now has a better relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By davening, he now has a better relationship with Hashem. He now talked to Hashem. He understands Hashem is the only one that can give. So he has a connection with Hashem. So he gets that from tefillah also. So that's what the Mabit says. What the Mabit says is that when a person davens, he should have a different perspective on tefillah. He shouldn't have the perspective, I'm davening because I need to be answered. His perspective should be, I'm davening because I need to daven. And if Hashem has put me in a greater need, so I have to daven more, then it means I have a greater opportunity for another mitzvah. And another mitzvah, and another mitzvah. And as many times as I daven, I get all those mitzvahs. And all those mitzvahs will accumulate for me in Olam Haba. And not only that, but even in this world, every time I daven properly, b'kavana, I now have a greater connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that can't be taken away. That can't be taken away, says the Mabit, even if a person is not going to be answered. Even if there was a decree that Hashem will not change his mind. For whatever reason it may be. But the person still goes away with those tefillahs. Take a simple example. Person works hard and spends a good few hours building his sukkah. Beautiful. Built the sukkah, ready for the mitzvah, and then it rains the whole sukkah. Can't sit in the sukkah. But he built the sukkah. But he has the sukkah at least. Okay, so Hashem didn't allow him to sit in the sukkah, but he has the sukkah. He has that schar in Olam Haba. Now maybe he has not as much schar, he couldn't sit in the sukkah, but he has that schar building the sukkah. Or a person deals with Le'olenu, who has a family member who's sick. And for months and months and months, through operations or treatment or whatever it may be, builds up a relationship with this very high-powered, very high-influential doctor. And in the end,
Nebuch, the family member, passes away. But the person now has this very close relationship with the doctor. And years later, the doctor uses his influence to help a different family member, or uses his influence to help another member of this person's shul, only because of that connection to the doctor. So look at that, and that really paid off. So a very mundane example, but we daven, says the Mabit, and the davening, no matter what, even if Hashem decides he's not going to listen to us, but we have the davening, we have that mitzvah of davening. Secondly, we have now a greater relationship with our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Indeed, it's a different perspective on davening. It's not the perspective that I daven in order because I need to receive things. I daven in order to get things. I daven in order to be answered. But we daven in order to daven. Sometimes, all we'll get out of it is what we get at Olam Haba, or the little that we get at Olam Hazeh. It's an interesting story. A couple in Eretz Yisrael who had a boy who was getting terrible headaches. And he went from one doctor to the next, until they finally hit the right specialist who told them that Nebuch, this boy, has a terrible brain tumor. And the doctor said that the course of action could be one of two possibilities. He said, you'll have to decide. Very risky, both of them, but he presented the options, at least, to the family. And didn't know what to do. So the father had been close to Rav Gustman Zatzal, Rav Yisrael Gustman, who later was in Eretz Yisrael, but at this time he was in America. Rav Gustman was known, he was a dayan in Vilna at a very young age, a tremendous tzaddik, a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And they decided they're going to travel by boat to America, to Rav Gustman, to speak things over with him. See, maybe he'll have an Eitzah. Maybe he could tell us which path to take. And they come to Rav Gustman, and he greets them, and he hears the diagnosis, and he hears the options, and he's thinking what to do. And then he says, then he wants to speak with the boy. He calls the boy in, and he says, what are you learning in yeshiva? Tells him what he's learning. Oh, let me hear what you're learning. This part, let me hear, say something over. He starts telling him just some simple Gemara that he's learning. And then Rav Gustman says, you know something, I have a question. And he asks him a kasha. And then Rav Gustman starts telling him a whole shiur that Rav Gustman made up. He starts telling to this young boy. And people, you know, he already, the boy can't, you know, he's been getting these headaches. He probably can't halt kap with Rav Gustman. And Rav Gustman making sure. Could you repeat the question again? I bought a repeated question. And he was enjoying it, actually. And here's the answer. He tells them the answer. Can you repeat the answer now? And this is going on for a long time. And finally, Rav Gustman was satisfied that the boy knew the question well. He knew the answer well. Rav Gustman's question, Rav Gustman's answer. Satisfied. Fine. He gave the boy a kiss. And he wished him well. And they left. So to the bewilderment of all who were around and wondering, you know, what was this game? What are you trying to torture the boy? Did you repeat over the question, the answer? So Rav Gustman said, the prognosis doesn't look too good. And I certainly wish the boy a refuah shleima. He says, but things look pretty bad. He says, he may not make it. If he doesn't make it, and you go through one treatment, the next, operations, he's been going through treatment if he doesn't make it, he's going to come to Shemayim, and they're going to say, no, you have epis to say? I wanted to give him something good to say. He has something good to say. So I'll have this Torah, I'll have this shtickle Torah, I'll have a good kash, I'll have a good Torah. That's what he'll say. So sometimes the perspective at tefillah is the same way. we can have the perspective of the tefillah just that we have the tefillah. We have the tefillah. We're not answered. Hashem decided we're not going to be answered. The tefillah was a good tefillah. I don't have to blame myself that it wasn't a tefillah but kavana. It was but kavana. I davened properly. But what did I get from it? I didn't get answered. I didn't get answered for my tefillah. I didn't get answered. We had the tefillah, says the Mabit. You have that schar on Elam Abba. It's going to greet you on Elam Abba. You have that reward on Elam Azeh. You now have a greater connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what Avram Avinu understood, and Noach unfortunately didn't understand. And Noach, it was a done deal. There was no point in davening anymore. The Gezerah was done. Hashem decided, I'm going to destroy the world. What's the point of tefillah at this point? Avram Avinu knew, it's not going to help. Sodom and Amora, they should be destroyed. They deserve to be destroyed. But if Hashem told me about it, then there's an opportunity for tefillah over here. Even though the Gezerah was already complete, but still I could daven. And indeed he did daven. The truth is, Avram davened for two things. And one of them he was answered right away. He davened, Ha'af tispe tzaddik in Russia. Are you going to kill the tzaddik too? Who was he referring to? Lot. Right? And he saved Lot. So his tefillah was answered actually. But in terms of saving Sodom and Amora, that he wasn't answered. And going into that, understanding that, he says, could be, there's no point in davening over here to be answered, but there's a point in davening to daven. And this is our Masorah now, because we're not B'nai Noach, we're B'nai Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. So our Masorah is that we daven because we can daven. Because we have the opportunity to daven. Even if we're not going to be answered. The truth is, if a person davens properly, and they feel, when they davened, they felt connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they feel that they were saying things, meaning it, and they knew there was someone listening. Then when they finish that tefillah, or they finish the weeks of tefillah, or the months of tefillah, for whatever they were davening for, they're satisfied with just with the tefillah. Even if they weren't answered, they're satisfied with the tefillah. They feel themselves that they've done the right thing. They have that mitzvah saseh of the b'chol avavchem. They feel they have now a better relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're satisfied with just with that feeling. So that's what the Mabit says. And he gives us a new insight, and really a new perspective, a new hashkafa on tefillah. A tefillah we don't daven in order to be answered. Tefillah we daven in order that we can daven. But the Mabit says one more thing. The Mabit tells us the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because when we want to talk about davening and not being answered with davening, but at least having the tefillah, the best example we can give is Moshe Rabbeinu. Because what did Moshe Rabbeinu daven for? To go into Eretz Yisrael. And was Moshe Rabbeinu answered? Yep. So there is a misconception. And the misconception is that people think, yes, every tefillah has an answer. Hashem answers every tefillah, but sometimes the answer is no. And that, my friends, is a mistake. That's a mistake. And the Mashkiach, Rebbe Ramatisyo, explains why it's a mistake. And proves from the story of Moshe Rabbeinu himself that it was a mistake. And really the Ma'abit himself says this, right after he brings this idea of tefillah, then he brings the case of Moshe Rabbeinu. And here again we need a different perspective on tefillah. Let me tell you what the Gemara says about Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a good introduction. Not quite as jolly as the tune, but nonetheless. Says the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas says, Amar Rav Elazar, Gedela Tefila. Tefila is so great, Yosim Imaisim Tegim. It's greater than even someone who has done so many good things in their life that they have so many schusim, so many merits. Tefillah still surpasses even that. Why? How do we know this? She'ein lecha gadol b'masim tevim yaisim b'meish rabbeinu. There is no greater Jew in this world that had more ma'asim tevim than Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, he delivered the Torah for all of Klal Yisrael. So he has all that schus. He taught Torah to all of Klal Yisrael. So he has that schus. There's no one greater in Ma'asim Tevim than Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet, Afal Pikein, even so, Loinena Elabit Fila. You see that Moshe Rabbeinu needed something. How was he answered? Loinena Elabit Fila. You see, even he had to daven. Couldn't just rely on all the schus. Even though they were so great and many, Moshe Rabbeinu needed Tefillah. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu daven? So says the Gemara, Shemar, it says, Al Tosef Daber Eilai, don't speak to me anymore, Hashem says, V'samach Le Alei Reish HaPisgah, go up to the mountain. Anybody know what that was talking about? That was when he was davening to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now I ask you, how can you bring me a proof that Moshe Rabbeinu was answered when he was davening to go into Eretz Yisrael if he wasn't answered? If Hashem said no, if the answer was no, you're not going to inherit Yisrael. So what does it mean? You see, tefillah is so great. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't answered only with tefillah. One second. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't answered with tefillah. So what the Gemara is telling us is that Moshe Rabbeinu was answered. And we made a mistake. And we thought Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't answered. And really, in truth, he was answered. So let's rearrange that notion that sometimes we're not always answered, or sometimes the answer is no. The real truth is that every time we daven, we're always answered. If it's a tefillah b'kavanah, if it's done properly, if this mitzvah saseh is done properly, there's always the answer in the affirmative. Hashem always answers us yes. But not always in the way that we thought the answer should be. In other words, let's explain with Moshe Rabbeinu, because that's the example we're using. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to go into Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara tells us in Saita, did Moshe Rabbeinu want to go into have Angel's Bakery bread? Did he want to go in to have Tanuva chocolate chokos? That's what he wanted to go into Israel. He'd like only pay resaris. That's what he wanted to go into Israel. He wanted to go into Israel. Why? Because there's many, many mitzvahs that you can't fulfill outside of Eretz Yisrael. So he wanted to go into Israel to fulfill all those mitzvahs. He wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael to have the Avira there in Israel. He wanted to get everything that there is to gain from Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. And that's why he davened 515 times to go into Eretz Yisrael. And what did Hashem say? Hashem says, okay, stop davening. Now go up to the mountain. And Rashi tells us in Parshas
Voeschanan. Ale Reish HaPisgah, go up to the mountain. Visa'inecha, and let your eyes look. Yama v'tzafayna v'seymanu mizracha, look in all four directions. Ure'e ve'inecha, and look with your eyes. Ki lo'i sa'avar esayar danezeh, because you will not actually cross over the Jordan. Says Rashi, Ure'e ve'inecha, and look with your eyes. Bikashta mimeni, you have requested of me, va'ere es haretz ha'teva, I want to see the land, I want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem says, ani ma'ar lecha es kula, I will show you all of it. Shenemar va'ere Hashem es kol haretz, Hashem showed him all of the land. And as Hashem says, this is why you want to go into Eretz Yisrael. You want to gain everything there is to, from Eretz Yisrael. You were asking, because you thought in your mind, that the best way to do that is actually to physically go in. And Hashem says, that I am not granting your request. But you daven properly, I will answer you positively. And I will answer you, you will gain from what you wanted in Eretz Yisrael. In a different way. You will go up to the mountain, and you will see, you will take all of that in with your eyes, and thereby you will be answered with your tefillah. The answer wasn't no. The answer was, I will answer you, but in a different way than you thought. You thought the best way would be to physically go in. Hashem says, you will gain from Eretz Yisrael, but in the way that I see it best. Hashem says, you're davening for this person, that they should be better. And in your mind, the best thing for this person is that they emerge healthily from this sickness. Hashem says, that's not the best thing in my mind. That's not my plan. There was a gzeirah already. But I will answer you in a different way, because you're davening that this person should become better and he shouldn't be sick. So Hashem says, I will answer you, because in a few years from now there was someone else who maybe would have gotten sick, maybe yourself, maybe your children, maybe somebody else. Hashem says, I will answer you, and that tefillah will go for that person. So the answer is never no. The answer is, though, sometimes Hashem will answer us in a different way than we thought was the best for us. Because we don't always know what the best for us is. One of the Stipler's grandchildren was going from Bnei Brak to Eretz Yisrael, and he told his grandfather, I'm going to Yerushalayim now, I'm going to be going to the Kosel, to Davin. And the Stipler says, oh, please mention my name over there. When you go down by the Kosel, please mention my name. So the grandson says, you know, Zayda, I think God knows who you are even in Bnei Brak. You know, he knows who the Stipler is. So the Stipler told him, says, oh, no, I see you didn't learn something in yeshiva, which you should have. He says, you have to know that every tefillah that's done properly, davened properly, every tefillah helps in some way. And every tefillah, every extra tefillah, and this way you're going to a makom which is closer to Beis Hamikdash, you'll mention my name, that will help. If it won't help today, it will help tomorrow. If it opens up, not tomorrow, the next week, the next year, or who knows how many years it will be. But every tefillah will be answered, the Stipler said. Perhaps what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was saying, why it's very important, this is a very important concept, to learn from Avraham and Noach, that Avraham knew he was going to daven even though he wasn't going to be answered. And Noach did not daven because Nigzira Gzeira, there was already Gzeira, wasn't going to be answered. And Rabbi Yaakov says that in our generation it's very important for us to know this. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Perikov Beis, which says, Pana el tfilas ha'aror. Hashem turns to the tfilah of the aror. Various ways of understanding what the aror is. Rashi says the one who cries out, the one who calls out. Or an explanation is the one who arouses themselves to daven properly. Vele bazel tfilasam, Hashem does not despise the tfilah which is davened properly. On this pasuk, the Chazal in the Tanna de Be'el Yo tells us a conversation took place between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Parshas Kisisa, when Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Hareini nas kevodecha, Hashem, show me your glory. What was he asking? Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, please show me the way you run the world. He says, I don't understand. Please, I don't understand everything. And things look to me haphazard. Please tell me. Why is it Tzadik V'Tevloi? Tzadik V'Raloi. Why is Rasha V'Tevloi? Rasha V'Raloi. Ashi V'Tevloi. Ashi V'Raloi. Ani V'Tevloi. Ani V'Raloi. And Moshe Rabbeinu, who had the greatest understanding of Hashem and his Hanhaga and how the world works, and yet he was left with these questions. Hashem, please tell me. Hareini nas kevodecha. Show me how you control the world. Show me why there's a rhyme and reason to everything that you do. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, Moshe, i'ata yochel lamen al midosai. You can't, even you can't know and fully understand how I operate. Ela, however, hare ani modi'acha miktsas midosai. I'll give you a little secret. I'll tell you one thing of how I operate. Kishani royes b'nei adam. When I see people, she'ein lehem techeles, they have no hope. They have no hope, labor by saying, because how many ma'asim tevim they do already? Certainly not enough for them to get anything from me. V'leibim ma'asim be saying. And you look back, not much stock over there either. Not much to have to give them what they need. El b'shvil shein umdin umavarchin. They stand and they praise. Umeschaninin and they beg. Umarbim tzvila v'vanai. And they continuously daven before me. Ani nizkak lahem. I'm forced, I'm bound to listen to them. And therefore I answer them. Shenemar panel tfilas ha'aron. The one who calls out, he has nothing else. He has no schusim. But the one who calls out in tfilah, Hashem says, I have to answer them. And this is another indication what the Gemara says. G'dayla tfilah yaisim imasim tevim. Because even if you have maisim tevim, you need tfilah. And here's the opposite. Even if you don't have maisim tevim, you have tfilah. What's interesting is that the pasuk, which follows this pasuk of panel tfilas ha'arav lebazel tfilasam, for those that are experts in Tehillim, what's the following pasuk? That's late in Nigeria. Okay, the following pasuk is tikasev zeis lador acharay. Write this down for the last generation. For am nivri yahalalka. The last generation, the dor acharein, needs to know this. David HaMelech says, maybe I don't have to know this right now, but Tikosev Zeis L'Darachon, write this for the last generation, because how many Maisim Tevim are we going to have? And how many Maisim Avesem are we going to have? So we have one thing left. Pone al Tfilas Ha'arav Lebuz al Tfilas Hashem says, those who call out to me, those who call out to me properly, they will be answered in Tfilah. And the truth is, the Ramban tells us in the end of this Parashas Bay that this is the whole concept of Tfilah. Just that we should come to Shul and admit that we have nothing, we are helpless, and only Hashem could do. And we should say that, B'riyasecha anachnu. Admit that fact, and that's a real tefillah. So in summation, we have two new perspectives, I believe, on tefillah. And that is one that we learned from the difference between Avram and Noach, that Avram knew that you daven even if you're not going to be answered. And the Mabit explains, because you'll have that reward in Eilam Abba, and you'll have the reward in Eilam Azeh, with the greater connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that you'll always have, even though Hashem has decided He's not going to answer that tefillah. But not answering that tefillah doesn't mean He didn't answer that tefillah. He just didn't answer it in the way that we thought it would be the best for us to be answered. And that we learned very clearly from Moshe Rabbeinu. But every tefillah is answered. Every tefillah is answered. It may not be for me right now. It may not be even for the person that I'm davening for. But all of those tefillahs go together. Just to finish off, to make sure it's rounded out properly. My Rebbe said that he asked his Rebbe, Rabbi Elia Lapian, he said, I don't understand one thing with all of this. If I'm davening for someone who is sick, Leolainu, and that person unfortunately doesn't make it, so very nice, I get all the schusim, I get all the reward for davening,
And what's with that person? That person gets nothing of it? Rabbi Eliel HaKlein said, no, that person also gets. Why? Because what was the impetus for me to daven? It's sort of like a Rebbe and a Talmud. The Rebbe taught the Talmud, and therefore whatever the Talmud ends up doing goes back for the schus of the Rebbe. And this person who was sick, that got everyone to daven for him, all of those tefillahs go with that person too. So that person comes to Shemayim, and he had no clue that he's greeted with all of these thousands of tefillahs that were daven for him, and he's greeted with books of Tehillim that surround him. Tehillim, I never said this Tehillim, why is it coming to me? Because that was the motivation for davening for him. And all of it is accumulated. So the person davening gets discussed, the person with davening for gets discussed, and even for not answered, says the Mabit, we have at least a tefillah. And if we daven properly, we have that tefillah with us, and that tefillah never goes away. And that tefillah somehow is answered, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, and maybe in the future. Have a good night.